Amen. Amen. Well, welcome to Marbleton Free Will Baptist. It's good to be with you today. And isn't it good to be back in the house of the Lord? Amen. I'll praise the Lord for that. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this day. Thank you for the opportunity to be together. Thank you, Lord, for your many blessings of life and your mercy and grace and how good you are to us. And Lord, we thank you that we do live in America. Thank you for the freedoms we enjoy. And Father, I just pray you'll bless this time of being together. You'd touch each one. God, everyone that's hearing my voice today, whatever the need may be, whatever the trial and the tribulation and whatever is coming away in every heart and life, you know what we're facing, Father. And I pray that you'd meet every need. God, that you'd move the way you see fit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Come and share with us.
Why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home? When Jesus is my portion, my constant friend is He.
Thank you. Amen. If you have your Bibles this morning and you would like to turn with me to Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21. I want to share a message with you this morning. I want to
ask a question. How many thinks that we are living in the end times or the last days? I mean, I strongly, and I'm still planning for the future. I'm still going to live like I'm going to try to live like I'm take care of myself, like I'm going to be 100 years old, but it wouldn't surprise me if I don't never have another birthday. Amen. And I believe this and want to share a message with you today out of Scripture and coping in the last days. Coping in the last days. I'm convinced and I believe that we are living in the latter days. If you would turn with me and stand in Luke 21, starting at verse 25. Now, just before this, in verses 20 through 24, Jesus was talking about the destruction of Jerusalem, and this came to pass in AD 70 by Titus, the Roman, and I think about 66. The Jews rebelled against Rome, and then they started putting the pressure down. In A.D. 70, you remember Jesus told the disciples, said, "There'll not one stone of this temple that won't be thrown down." And this was believed to be fulfilled in A.D. 70. And I think that probably the verses 20 through 24 in this area is talking about is the prophecy of this. But I believe when we get down to verse 25, that it's the time between A.D. 70 and the coming of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I think this prophecy is in this time, is in our time. And I believe that today. Now, eschatology or the study of end times, the word eschatology is broke down and it means last and study. So it is the study of end times, end time and prophecy. And so today, and anytime there's eschatology, there is a lot of different opinions. I mean, you can read books, go from one end to the other. So, when I preach, I don't preach a whole lot of prophecy. I don't preach a whole lot about that. But I believe, and this is a lot of this is my beliefs. I'll show you the scripture why I believe what I do. But anyway, but this is in, I believe, in the last time, verse 25. "And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's heart failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." That ought to make every one of us say amen right there. Amen. "And he spake to them a parable. Behold, a fig tree and all the trees, when thou now shoot forth, ye see and know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. So likewise, when you see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away." Let's pray. Father, again, we ask you for your blessings upon this, the old preacher boy, upon this passage, and Lord, you'd use it to encourage us today. Lord, help me not say anything that's untrue. Lord, that I just pray, Father, for the leading of the Holy Spirit of God, and Lord, that you'd move upon us today and that you'd encourage our hearts. Help us to be everything you want us to be. Forgive us and cleanse us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thinking about the end times, what an exciting time to be alive. I didn't get a whole lot of response there. Huh? ask you, would you rather have been an Israelite coming out of Egypt or entering into the promised land? I mean, there's no comparison, are there? I'd a whole lot rather been the ones going in and eating where I didn't sow and drinking the wells I didn't dig and feasting on the old corn. And see, that's going to be the difference. It's an exciting time to be a Christian. Because we can see, and most of us have already agreed that we think that the time is near. And we think, see, it's exciting time. What a time to be a fulfilling, seeing prophecy fulfilled. And knowing I don't know of anything that really has to be fulfilled except the Father look over at the Son and say, go get my children. Amen. This morning, and if I read Matthew, probably there's going to be the last person's going to be saved one of these days. He may be in church this morning. He may be hearing the message. Amen? So, what excitement. See, it could happen today. We don't have to think, well, this got to happen, that's got to happen. I don't really know of anything that has to happen before he comes and gathers these jewels. Praise the Lord. And see, it's a time of open doors for sharing the gospel. We have more tools to share the gospel than they've ever had in history. What if the apostles had the internet? Amen? Man, I'm going to tell you, they'd have wore it out. What if they'd have had Facebook? I mean, it would have been amazing what they would have accomplished then. And we've got all of these tools and all of these different things that we can spread the gospel. The message I'm preaching, someone could see it in another country. Wow! What an opportunity for us to share our faith in the end times. See, I think that time's growing near, and we ought to be more excited than ever about sharing the gospel. I believe we forget that people is going to be lost and die and go to a horrible place called hell. But also there's another view of that as we can be excited. It's a fear of epidemic. The fear is epidemic. I mean, it's in verse 26 that men's hearts failing them for fear. It's a fearful time. It's an exciting time about being toward him, but it's a fearful time. If you turn the news on, you can be in a good mood in about 10 minutes. Amen. I mean, it's this one thing right after another. And it's a fearful time. COVID-19. How many's ever heard that this week? The coronavirus. I mean, we laugh about it, but it's serious stuff. It's something to fear. I sure don't want to contract it, and I sure don't want to carry it to anybody else. But what about our finances? I mean, everybody's talking about how bad the market's going to do, and we're going to have another collapse and jobs. And what about the unrest around the world? I mean, everywhere, it's a lot of unrest and a lot of turmoil and a lot of trouble and a lot of these things. See, that's fulfillment of the prophecy of God. The Bible talks of being pestilence and famines and floods and a lot of different things. Seeing fragile marriage relationships. In Genesis 6 and verse 3, the Bible said, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. Verse 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great, and that every imagination of thoughts and heart was evil only continually. And it talks about in this passage, and I ran the wrong verse off, but in this passage it talks about the wickedness of people and the marrying, and then in Luke and he talks about they were marrying and giving in marriage. And we see today that the institution of marriage is not what it used to be. I mean, it's been so perverted. And that's one of the signs of the end times. The corruption of this institution and fallen moral standards. In chapter 17, verse 26, I'll read here. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. The moral standards of America and the world in whole has failed by the wayside. There used to be a moral standard. Brother J.M., I can remember the day. I don't care how rough you was, how bad of an alcoholic you was, what you was involved in, you respected some things. There was respect for the house of the Lord. There was respect for the people of the Lord. If you claimed to be a Christian and lived right, people respected you. It was a respect for authority. There was a lot of respect. There was a respect for the police officers. There was respect for a lot of things. I told Rhonda not too long ago, I said, I got this early. I said, there's a song resonated with me when I was a little boy. She said, songs always resonate with you. I said, I remember that song, hearing it. I fought the law and the law won. I always let it go right there. Amen. See, and in Daniel chapter 12, verse 4, the Bible said, but thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. See, what we have today, we have a lot of full heads and a lot of restless hearts. People think that they're so much smarter than they ever was, and they probably are, and so much smarter than God. There's where we're running into trouble. And we've got smarts in our head, but our hearts is empty, and we're failing with fear because we have not got the things of the Lord, and we're not following the law, the Word of God, and His will in our lives. Amen. See now, I had you smiling and excited at first. Now I've got you let down again. How are we going to cope? And today I'm just going to hit the first point, and Lord's will, I'll finish it up next week. There's no way that we could get through everything. But one of the ways is by being aware of the signs of the times. By being aware of the signs of the times. You remember Jesus said that he told them, said, he answered and said unto them, when the Pharisees and the Sadducees were asking him to give them a sign. And he answered and said to them, when it is evening, ye say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And the morning it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the times? And I believe in the Word of God today that we can discern some of the signs, by some of the signs that we see. And in verses 25 and 26 said, and there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, and the sea and the waves roaring, men's heart failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Let me ask you something. How many had ever seen a dust bowl before? Before a couple weeks ago. I mean, the United States of America, there's a dust storm come from the Sahara Desert across the water, and a couple of weeks ago it looked like the mountains was on fire. That was dust. That came. How in the world did that happen? I'm pretty simple, and that just blowed me away. The reports of locusts in Africa, and the report thing that I read said in biblical proportions. 2019, there was a report of such a surge in tornado activity, historic flooding, economic woes. Economic woes. And crops failing. How many grows a garden? Is it harder to grow a garden now than it was a few years ago? It's a whole lot harder, isn't it? I don't know what it is, but it's times of, and this is, I think, all signs of the things that's coming. I read a thing too. Now I'm not going to get on aliens, but they say that there is maybe some dangerous asteroids that could endanger the Earth. You know, now if a big asteroid hit the Earth, that's a dangerous thing. So, you know, and these are things, but the swine flu, the bird flu, coronavirus. I mean, we've got all of these things that's coming, one right after another. There's something that I've studied and I've looked about, and when God's judgment, there's something about it. He's long-suffering. He's long-suffering. He waits. But let me tell you, when it starts, it starts. When it starts, He don't back off. He don't let up until He accomplishes the judgment that He has brought about. You look at the nation Israel, He was long-suffering, then wham, Babylonian captivity. Well, they come out, kind of got straightened out. He allowed it again in AD 70. As we see that when we turn our backs on God and we trust everything else but Him, there is a time coming that He will judge America. Amen. Ruth Graham said if God don't judge America, He'll have to repent for what He did to Sodom and Gomorrah. But I believe that why He's been long-suffering for America as long as He has is because that there's still some good folks in America. There's still gospel being preached in America. There's still missionaries going across the world to win people to the Lord. I believe that that's what's hell. And when His judgment starts, that it'll come swift, it'll come hard, and it'll come fast. And He'll complete it when He starts it. In Matthew chapter 24, in verse 8, the Bible says, well, here in the first verse, He said in verse 4, He said, take no heed no man deceive you, many will come in My name. Verse 6, there will be wars and rumors of wars. For nations shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. But verse 8, He says, all these are the beginning of sorrows. The word sorrows, the Greek word that's used here is odin, and it means birth pangs. Now, a lot of you ladies has had babies. How did you know the time was near? And they got what? Closer together, didn't they? You know, you might have started out one pain, and then it was one, and then in a few minutes it's another, and then the next thing you know, using a lot of pain right at the end, wasn't you? That is how this is describing end times and the signs, is that they, you might say, now preacher, you're trying to preach doom and gloom. We've had earthquakes all these years. We've had wars all these years. But we've not had them all together as often as we're having them now. We're not having epidemic effects of things like we're seeing now. This is the birthing pains. This is the signs that the times is getting closer. And that's according to the Word of God. And See, that the closer and the more frequent is the pain. Jeremiah chapter 30 and verse 12, the Bible tells us here that when he's talking to Israel about their sins, that he says here in 12, "For thus saith the Lord, thy bruise is incurable and thy wound is grievous." Now, what he was saying here was that your wounds and what you're going through, man can't fix it. Because if you go on down to verse 17, he says, "I'll heal your land. I'll heal your wounds." But here he's saying, man can't do it. See, what weird problem we are in the world today, we're looking for man to solve our problems. I preached last week. I didn't have a clue what was preaching tie-in this week. We want a king. We want somebody that'll fix our problems and to fix our woes. And God says here in the book of Jeremiah, man can't do it. Down in verse 17, he said, "I'm the only one that can do it." And today, until America gets this figured out, till families gets this figured out, till countries gets this figured out, blessed is a nation whose God is the Lord. And until that we all, and churches and individuals, that we get it figured out, that nothing and nobody and no word can fix our woes, and they're incurable, and our wounds, except the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There's signs in nature, and there's also signs in nations. In verse 29 and 30, the Bible says, "And he spake to them a parable, behold, a fig tree, and with all trees, and when they now shoot forth, ye see and know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand." You know, there's the signs in chapter 16 and verse 2 and 3. He told them again about the skies, about the signs. Nation Israel became a nation, was it 1946? I believe that this is when they talk about the fig tree. I believe it's talking about the nation Israel being established and becoming a nation recognized around the world. I believe that in my whole heart. And as he talks about here, the fig tree, and then he goes on and he says, "and other trees." And I think that he's talking of the signs that it goes around with the nation Israel and all the other nations that we can read about. And when you read in prophecy, we read about all these other nations that's around in the end times. And there's one perplexing thing that really bothers me, is that I'm not sure where we are. I don't see the United States in prophecy in the end times. That concerns me. Now, I've got a hope. My hope is that we are so entwined and entangled with the nation Israel, we're disconsidered with them. That's my hope. Or I hope that it's not somebody's hit us with a nuclear weapon and we no longer exist. You might say, "Well, Tim, you're getting far-fetched." I hope that we have not become so economically dependent on everybody else that we are no longer a powerful nation. I'm afraid there's where we're going to be. I'm afraid that that's where a nation America will be in the very end. I hope I'm wrong. I hope I was right the first time with Israel. See, and also in Revelation chapter 13 and verse 17, the Bible says, "And that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name." Now, I'm definitely not going to get into mark of the beast and what that is, and and all that. But I do want to bring a point out. How are they going to know if you've had the mark? We're going to have the technology to keep up with everybody in the whole world. I'd say we're pretty close to that right now, wouldn't you? Wow. Wow. And so we see it in the technology of the monitoring the whole world commerce. There's not anything that happens that's not shown immediately. Had you ever thought about later on in the book of Revelation? I know I'm rambling going everywhere, but later on in the book of Revelation where the prophets lay dead in the streets? And it said, and the whole world knew it? How would they know it? John didn't know about CNN and Fox News and all these, did he? It automatically happens now. We see it. We've seen the last wars. We watched it every night on the television. Used to back the old wars, and it was weeks and months before they'd get the information when something happened. Now we get it immediately. The technology, I think we're there. And here's one, a disturbing one, is that few are looking for Christ's return. In Matthew 24:44, therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not the Son of Man cometh. There's very few people looking for Jesus. We've heard that for years, preacher. Peter said, it's because God's not slack as some men count slackness, but he's long-suffering, not that any should perish, but all come to repentance. And just because that he has not come don't mean he's not coming. It means he's waiting and allowing people to hear the gospel and people for the Holy Spirit to move upon their hearts and them accept the Lord in their lives before it's eternally too late. If you're under the sound of my voice today, call upon the name of the Lord before it's too late. The only chance that we'll have going to heaven and missing a lot of this stuff and missing the troubles and the trials and the punishment of hell is through a relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, I'm really teetering on the edge here, but I'm a premillennialist. I believe it because of the Word of God. I mean, I didn't just come up with it on my own. But I believe that God's going to come and rapture the church out. And following that is going to be 7 years of the worst time it's ever been in the history of man. And I want to share, and one thing that I could preach a lot, but I want to share Revelation chapter 3 and verse 10. The Bible said, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. I'm thankful. We're going to be persecuted. We're going to go through a lot of times. But according, and if I understand the Bible correctly, that right before the end, that he's going to come and rapture the church out, and then will come the 7 years like we've never known. And there is a whole lot of difference in the way people believe in salvation during the tribulation, and I definitely won't get into that. But I will say, I think if you've had opportunity to be saved, I don't expect you to have opportunity in the tribulation. That's my beliefs, and lays people believe different than that, and that's fine. But I sure don't want to wait till then. If I don't do it now, what makes me think I'm going to do it then? I'm sure if it's a whole lot worse and a whole lot more trouble, and if the Holy Spirit is taken out and that's what convicts and brings men to the knowledge and to conviction to turn their lives over to the Lord, I sure don't want to wait and take my chances. I'd like to get in right now if I wasn't in. Amen. See, in these signs, and I want to get back positive before I close. In verse 28, everybody look at this with me because I want you to get excited. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Amen. There is hope of a believer. There is what keeps us keeping on. There's what keeps us getting up. When we see this stuff, let's not let our hearts fail us for fear. Let's not sit around and rub our hands together. Let's not get concerned. But when we see these things come about, there's a couple things that ought to do. It ought to get us excited to get our family saved. Because we can see the end, and I don't want to leave them here, do you? It ought to get us excited then about getting to go home. You ever been out in a snowstorm and having trouble getting home? I mean, every road you go, it's closed. The trees fell across here and this here, and cars slid off. And I've had it take me an hour and a half, 2 hours to get home where I could usually do it in 15 minutes. When you finally pull in the driveway, what do you do? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. And I finally made it. I remember coming in one day and it was so slick, and I pulled in up the barn, slid, come across the yard, down off in the driveway, and I was just glad I'd have parked right there if I didn't get any further. You know, when we see all this trouble, it ought to make heaven a little sweeter for us. It ought to make going home a little more exciting. Because this is not the end. Amen. This is just the end of the beginning. Amen. And there's a better day coming. Is Jesus your Savior this morning? Then look up, your redemption's drawing nigh. There's better times a coming. In Esther, and most of y'all remember, we went through the book of Esther a few years ago. And you remember Mordecai was fasting, and Esther sent clothes out for him to put on and told him to see what was the matter. And finally, when she talked to him, he said, Haman's getting ready to kill all the Jews. And said, don't think you're going to be exempt. And he said, who knows, you may have been put in that kingdom for such a time as this. And this morning, wherever you are and wherever I am, God may have put us there for this time, for such a time as this. And as I thought, and I thought on this time, you know, this is a time to be saved. You may be here or be listening on your device and you've never asked Jesus into your heart. Today would be a good day. Today would be a good time to nail that down and say, I want to know for sure that I'm ready to meet the Lord. You know, when and pastor and preaching circles and in associations, there's something called being in good standings. That means that you meet all the qualifications and that you do what's been required of you, and you are in good standings with the association. Right now, I'm in good standings with the Appalachian Association, which makes me in good standings with the state associations, which makes me in good standings with the national association. My name is on the records and on all the rolls as in good standings. Don't you want to be in good standing with the Lord? You might say, preacher, I've been saved, but how are we living? I'm not talking about a time years and years ago. I'm talking about where we are today. You know, I could have been in good standings with the association 10 years ago, but not now. But I've done what I've been required of me to keep in good standings. And I'm not saying someone's lost, but we can not be in good standings with the Lord. Not have that fellowship. David said, Lord, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Sometimes we might be saved, but I've been in situations in my life to where I felt as lost as a ball in high weeds. I didn't have no joy. I wasn't doing the things that I needed to be doing that would keep that relationship alive. If me and Rhonda quit talking, our relationship would go deteriorate pretty quick. Be kind of like Jethro Bodine. He told Miss Hathaway, said, I can't live without you. He said, true, Granny won't cook or wash my clothes. It pays to be in good standings with the Lord. What if you have to get down and pray about something serious? Something has happened. There's been an emergency. And all of a sudden, the only thing that you can do is drop to your knees and pray. What if it takes you 10 minutes to get some things straightened out? The Bible says that God won't hear if we let sin allow in our hearts. We had to get all that stuff cleaned out. I like an open line. Amen. And also, it's a good time to pray for endurance. I thought and I looked through again this morning and I went through all the letters to all seven churches in the book of Revelation, chapter 2 and chapter 3. And there is one statement that was said to every church, every one of them. Now, of course, he says, he that hath ear let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. But this statement says, to him that overcometh. It's in every church, to him that overcometh. I won't be an overcomer. I want to endure to the end. I want to be trust that the Lord. I want to be, if it's his will, I want to be preaching the gospel when my time comes. I'm not saying I want to die in the pulpit, but I'm just saying I still want to be faithful to the calling, to what God has called me to do and be in my life when I take my last breath. Amen? Don't you? Now don't get mad at me. Are you doing it now? Can you say, preacher, I know 100% I'm in God's will. Amen. Man, we got quiet now. That's where I want to be, though, don't you? There is such a peace comes with that position. When you are exactly where God wants you, there's a peace that passes all understanding. I'm so thankful for that. Brother Richard, I'm happier than I've ever been in my Christian life because I'm where God wants me. And if I'd have missed that, I'd have been miserable. And y'all might have been a lot happier, but I'd have been miserable. Let's pray. Father, as we come to you again,